On December 21st, 1981, something happened that made that day kind of fun. It snowed in a small beach town in Florida. Now, most of the folks there had never experienced snow before. Sure, many of them had gone off to see family in other areas where they had snow, or maybe they'd gone west skiing, but a large portion of this little town had never actually been in snow before. It was great to see the children running around, catching snowflakes and screaming and laughing, but children do that a lot of times, right? I wasn't pointing at you guys for any purpose. It was just a gesture, okay? Just making sure. What was wonderful was watching the adults, the grown-ups. With the exception of the Steelers and Bengals game last night, it's great to watch grown-ups forget that they are grown-ups for a while. There's a bridge that goes over the Bay Area in this small town, and it separates the mainland from the island in this town. And the bridge began to get very slick, and cars started sliding backwards off of the bridge, and people couldn't get across it. Cars were sliding sideways, and some slid into the grass at the base of the bridge. In every city, you know, when this happens in cities up here, Kansas City, New York, I mean, all those types of cities, people get scared and nervous, anxious and mad. They yell out of their windows and share everyone that they think they're number one, and often call God's name out and add a few other colorful metaphors along with it. But today in this little town where most people had never seen snow, something different happened. It was a new experience. It was fresh. People weren't sure what to do at first. Then a young man got out of his sideways car and looked around at the other confused people. They all stood there for a minute in silence. And that young man reached down on the ground and scraped up enough white stuff off the grass to form a well-packed softball-size snowball. He smiled for a second and then hurled it at a complete stranger who was standing beside his car wondering how to get home. He missed him by a foot, but when it hit his hood, it splattered all over him, and there were 37 cars stalled on or below the bridge there that day, and what happened next was awesome. All of those 37 drivers got involved in one hilariously gigantic snowball fight. Now, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And let's reflect back on our scripture today. Hopefully you still have your Bibles out. We'll be referring to it today. In verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. There were a crowd of people that were there listening in, but he was specifically speaking to the disciples. Now, what is light? What is light, and what does light do? It makes things bright. What else does light do? Huh?
Changes the perspective.
Changes. Why does it change the perspective? So you can see things better, and many times that changes your perspective. Okay. It illuminates. Light reflects. Oh, off of things. Okay. It allows color, assuming there's color in the light. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the primary function of light is not to be seen, right? Right? But to allow us to see other things. Is that correct? Do you understand that? Am I making sense there? The primary function of light is not to be seen, but to let things be seen as they are. Now here, the Greek word that is used when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," the Greek word that is used is phos. for light. Phos. And it means light, of course, especially in terms of its results, what it manifests. And in the New Testament, the manifestation of God's self-existent life, divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. Now, the main overtone in chapter 5, verse 13 is even stronger. And if you look at 13, Jesus calls us salt, right? Salt. And so, since light, we are to be light to the nations. The disciples are to be light to the nations. And in Isaiah, the city on a hill, they are both used with reference to Israel's mission to the nations. Matthew believes that Israel had failed to carry out this mission. And the church of Jews and Gentiles is now charged with this task. The function, in a way, from Jesus to the disciples is a warning not to fail in their mission. The salt, says sayings, which come just before our scripture, like I said, and the light sayings both picture a mission of natural to the discipleship. As saltiness is essential to salt, think about that. As saltiness is essential to salt, shining is essential to light. Now, what do I mean by that? For most of us, we use sodium chloride for salt. Okay? You know, it's interesting that sodium and chlorine are both poisonous, but you put those two elements together and we eat them. That's just amazing to me. So, sodium chloride is salt. Now, it doesn't matter what happens to sodium chloride, it is always salt. But see, back in their day, they didn't have refined sodium chloride. They had these crystals that they dig out of the ground that had sodium chloride in them. But the thing is, if that sodium chloride had leached out, right, this salt, quote unquote, had no purpose, right? So what do you think they did if that salt didn't taste salty anymore? Yeah, they got rid of it, right? They would get rid of it. So if you're thinking about this, and it's just easier to show salt in that way, with these three metaphors of salt, of light, and of the city on the hill, Jesus smacks religion that is purely personal and private. You understand that? Why have a light if you hide it? Why have a light if you don't share it with others? Why use salt that has no saltiness, that doesn't taste salty? The sermon is heard not only by the disciples. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount, right? This sermon is heard not only by the disciples, but also by the crowds. And the community that lives by the power of continuous prayer in the inner room is not a secret society, but it's a city set on a hill whose genuine life cannot be hidden away. Does that kind of make sense? Matthew has rephrased the question, emphasizing the contrast between lighting a lamp, and extinguishing it by placing it under a basket or a bowl. And the disciples are called to active mission of letting their light shine to all. But you know what? They do not show this light any more than salt shows its saltiness. Do we show our light as much as salt shows its saltiness? These metaphors picture the church as having been lit. God bless you. Receivers of a light from which God is the source. Now, do you remember the definition? Well, you should. It's right there in front of you, right? Of phos, the Greek word translated as light. And I'm just going to narrow it down here. Let's read that together. Phos, light, the manifestation of God's self-existent life, divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. The manifestation of God's self existent light. You see, they have been lit for the world, not for their own sake. Speaking of the disciples, speaking of that those folks that were listening in. Here, the community of disciples is light for the dark world, as Jesus in chapter 4:16 says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Jesus doesn't point to the glory himself, but to glorify God and only God. The disciples' mission is not to shine on themselves, but to shine and let God be seen for whom God really is. Does that make sense to everybody? You may have noticed, but who is really supposed to be seen? God. Yeah. God is the one who is supposed to be seen. If we let our light shine, God is the one who is seen. Right? Everybody understand that? So if we look at Matthew 5:15, one of our verses for today, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket. Hello, duh. Right? But on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Who is responsible for lighting the lampstand? Is it us? Yeah. God is the one who lights the lampstand, because who is the lampstand? We are, right? So God lights the lampstand. God gave us the phos, the light, right? Which, again, is what? The manifestation of God's self-existent life. Do you remember what Jesus said in our scripture for today? Kind of the kicker in the whole thing. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? Now, I just read over something there. It's the way I assume many of us read Scripture, especially those who have been in church for a while. Some of you may know this Scripture by heart, and you just dance right over it when you're saying these things. But did you notice what Jesus said? Well, yeah, Eric, I'm looking right at it. No, what I mean is, did you really notice what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? In the same way, what? Let what? So in the same way, what? Oh, I don't think all 85 or 90 of you have said anything yet. In the same way, I knew you could do it. I had faith in you. So who gave you this light? God. And you are to what? Let your light shine. Jesus teaches this all the time. God gave you your life. Now give your life back to God in service. God gave you your talent. Now use that talent to glorify God. God gave you your money and your material possessions. Now glorify God by giving it back to your church. God gave you the gift of salvation. Now go, Matthew 28 says, right? Now go and bring salvation to others. Once again, as if anybody that's heard me very often knows, I really love the message from a devotional point of view. And the message puts it this way. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Isn't that cool? Bringing out the God colors in the world. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. In my 25 years of ministry, one of the things that I've heard a lot is, especially when I talk about evangelism and talking about speaking of the mission of the church to your friends and workmates and stuff, and the most common thing that I get back is, "Oh, Eric, that just isn't me." That's just not my personality. I just get so nervous and blah, 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 right? Now, let me ask you a question. If you think about the big picture, who created you that way? No, that's... God. So think about it. Bring out the God colors. I mean, if you look at our stained glass window... I don't know if that's stained glass. That's stained glass back there. But if you look at these windows... Would there be any God colors if the sun wasn't shining through those? Right? But because, I mean, if we can think of God as the light shining through this window, and even if we think of each of us as a different color of pain, hey, see how I did that? Maybe Mark's the lead. No, but seriously, if each of us are the different color of pain and God shines through each pain, you see the God colors that come out. God created the personality type that you have, but God just wants you to let your light shine, right? He didn't say, make sure you make your light shine. Come on, folks, you gotta make your light shine so you can glorify God. No, he says, you have the light. Put it on a lampstand. Don't cover it up with excuses. Let your light shine. Let's say that together. Let your light shine. So, I chased a rabbit there. Here's another way to put it. The message says, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. I just love that. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, remember this is Jesus, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, what does it say?
Shine.
I love it. Yeah, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. So what is the whole point? To glorify whom? To glorify God. This generous Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Now, you're probably asking, what in the world does all of this have to do with snow? I can just hear the wheels turning. I see some smoke coming out of a few of your ears. What in the world does this have to do with snow? Well, maybe nothing, but I did make a connection. You know, the story I told you earlier, those people didn't know they were supposed to be mad. They didn't know they were supposed to be frustrated. It never snowed there before. It was new and fresh and exciting. And just for a few minutes, it changed their behavior and their perspective on life. It brought joy and fun into their life. And I'm thinking about you in the pews right here this morning. I'm thinking about those who are listening to the stream on their computer, sitting at home. I'm thinking about those who are in a car listening to the radio right now, and you know, you have the power to bring joy and fun and life to the people that are around you. You have the power to bring joy and fun and life into the ordinary world of other people. You have the power to bring God's light to the people around you. Why? Because you are letting your light shine. And so I say today, and let's say it together, let your light shine. Let's say it. Let your light shine. Actually, I changed my mind. Say, let my light shine. Let my light shine. Right? Let my light shine. And I guess I just want you to Why don't you make snow for someone today? Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. We celebrate you. We thank you for our life. We thank you for the light that each one of us has. We celebrate, God, that we can be with a community that loves you as well, that worships you, and that lifts you as number one in its life. And so, God, as we continue our worship and as we live our lives this week, let us remember that it's really your life that we're living. It is light that you have given us that shines from us. So help us glorify you in that, God. Help us let our light shine. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,